All right, ready to jump into this. RNA vaccines, and we're going way beyond just the COVID stuff. This is about the whole future of how these things work.
It's really remarkable, honestly. The research paper you sent over, it goes deep, like really deep. Not just the how, but the potential, you know? Fighting viruses, sure, but maybe even some chronic diseases down the line. It's wild.
See, this is what gets me pumped for these deep dives. I always think RNA vaccines, yeah, I get it. But then, bam, whole new world of possibilities opens up.
And that's exactly what we're here to unpack. But before we get ahead of ourselves, maybe a quick refresher. Just to remind everyone why RNA vaccines were such a game changer, especially back in 2020 when the pandemic hit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, traditional vaccines, the old school ones, they're good, don't get me wrong. But it's like snail mail compared to texting, you know?
Perfect analogy. The speed difference is insane. Think about it. When scientists got the genetic sequence of COVID-19, Moderna, they had a vaccine candidate ready to go in days. Days. Traditional methods. That could have taken years. Easy.
Seriously, days. That just blows my mind. And it wasn't just speed, right? Viruses, especially those pesky flu and coronaviruses,
Yeah.
they love to mutate.
You hit the nail on the head. That's the other massive win for RNA vaccines flexibility. Instead of starting from scratch every time there's a mutation, scientists can just tweak the RNA sequence, like editing code basically, and boom, you're targeting the new variant.
So instead of always playing catch-up, we could have vaccines evolving alongside the viruses, always one step ahead. Now that's a game changer.
And that's exactly why this research is so exciting. It's not just about what we've already seen, but about the potential to completely change how we fight diseases in the future.
Okay, so RNA vaccines, we get it, they're a big deal. But I gotta be honest, when I hear that term, my brain still goes straight to, like, COVID. What else are we talking about here?
Yeah, no, totally. The COVID vaccines were huge, no doubt. But you're right, it's way bigger than that. This research paper, it highlights some really promising avenues, starting with something called flaviruses.
Flaviviruses, those are. Oh man, aren't those a lot of those mosquito-borne illnesses? Talk about a buzzkill, right?
You got it. Dengue, Zika, West Nile, all part of that flavivirus family. Cause a ton of problems globally. But here's the good news. Moderna, you know, one of the big players in the COVID vaccine world, they've already made an mRNA vaccine for Zika specifically. It's called mRNA-1893.
No kidding. So they're already branching out from just COVID to this stuff. How effective has it been, though? Has it actually worked?
The trials so far, really promising. Like, we're talking long-lasting immunity, up to 13 months of protection. And in some studies with primates, it totally prevented Zika infection. Pretty impressive.
Wow, okay. Long-lasting protection like that, especially against stuff spread by mosquitoes, that could be huge, especially in places where these diseases are a constant threat.
Yeah.
What other diseases are they looking at for RNA vaccines?
Well, let's talk about a virus I'm pretty sure everyone listening has had to deal with at some point, good old-fashioned influenza, or as most people call it, the flu.
Ugh, the flu. Don't even get me started. Every year, it's like I get the flu shot, feel awful for 2 days, and still somehow manage to catch whatever strain is going around.
Oh, I hear you. It's such a common experience, and it really highlights the biggest problem with the flu. It mutates so quickly. Traditional flu vaccines, they have to try and predict what strains will be going around months in advance, and sometimes, well, they just miss.
Which is where the whole RNA vaccine thing comes in,
Yeah.
right? Being able to quickly adapt and change the vaccine for new strains.
Exactly. And scientists are actually working on what they're calling a universal flu vaccine using mRNA technology.
A universal flu vaccine. So, like, one shot and you're covered from multiple strains,
Yeah.
maybe even strains that don't even exist yet.
That's the dream. Yeah. And if it works, it would be revolutionary for how we deal with flu season every single year.
Okay, I'm sensing a pattern here.
Yeah.
RNA vaccines going after some of the most widespread, most annoying viruses out there. Anything else on the list?
One more I want to mention, especially since we might have some parents and caregivers listening, RSV.
RSV. Oh man, that one is every parent's nightmare, right? I remember those frantic calls to the pediatrician, hoping our kid wouldn't need to be hospitalized.
You're right to be worried, honestly. RSV, it's a respiratory virus, and yeah, for adults, it might just be a bad cold. But for infants, little kids, it can be really serious. Leading cause of hospitalization for that age group, actually.
Whoa, I didn't realize it was that common. But there's been some progress with that, hasn't there? I feel like I heard something about new RSV vaccines.
You're right, some huge breakthroughs recently. Two new RSV vaccines, RXV and Abrysvo, got FDA approval.
No way. That's amazing. They're using this mRNA technology too.
Yep, both of them. But here's what's really cool. They take slightly different approaches. RXV is for older adults, one and done, single shot. Abrysvo, though, that one's given to pregnant women, and it actually provides passive immunity to the baby right from birth.
Whoa, so it's like giving the babies a head start on immunity. That's incredible.
It's seriously cool stuff, and it shows how adaptable this tech is. Not just about new vaccines, but new ways to use them, new populations we can protect. It's a really exciting time to be paying attention to this stuff.
Okay, so mRNA vaccines for Zika, the flu, RSV, that's already huge. But something tells me we're not done yet, are we? There's even more to this RNA vaccine world right
Oh,
now.
absolutely. We've just scratched the surface, really. Because mRNA, that's not the whole story. There are other types of RNA vaccines out there, and they sound like something straight out of sci-fi.
All right, now you've got my attention. Sci-fi vaccines. Let's hear it.
So there's this thing called self-amplifying RNA vaccines, or SARNA for short. Imagine a vaccine that can actually make copies of itself inside your cells.
Hold on, it's like the vaccine sets up shop and just starts churning out more vaccine. That's wild.
That's a great way to put it. And because of that self-replication thing, you need a much smaller dose to get the same immune response. Some studies suggest these SARNA vaccines could be, get this, up to 100 times more potent than regular mRNA vaccines.
100 times. Okay, now that's impressive. But are they safe? That's a lot of self-replication going on.
Yeah, safety is always the big question with any new tech, right? And it's interesting, SARNA vaccines, they're actually based on a type of virus, an alpha
Wait, a
virus.
virus. Hold on a second.
Now, before you freak out, these are modified, like seriously modified. They've stripped out the parts that cause disease, so it's more like they took the virus's toolkit and re-engineered it to deliver vaccines safely.
So they're taking a page from the virus playbook, but using it for good. It's
Yeah.
kind of genius,
All
actually.
right, turning the enemy's weapon against them. Okay, ready for another one. How about circular RNA vaccines? circRNA vaccines, they call them.
Circular RNA. Okay, that one sounds like a riddle. How does RNA even make a circle?
Picture a strand of RNA, right? But instead of two loose ends, the ends join up, forming a loop. That's basically circRNA. In that little difference, that circular shape, it gives them some really cool advantages.
Like what? What's so special about a circle?
Well, regular mRNA, it's kind of fragile, breaks down easily. That's why it needs those special delivery systems like the lipid nanoparticles we talked about. But circRNA, way more stable. Those enzymes that usually break down RNA, they don't know what to do with the circle, so it lasts longer in the body.
So it's like circRNA comes pre-packaged with its own armor. That could be a game changer for getting vaccines to places where, reliable cold storage is a problem.
Exactly. And because it's so stable, you might not even need those complicated delivery systems. Simpler, cheaper to produce.
This is all amazing stuff, but I gotta ask, how do you actually get these RNA molecules into the cells? It's not like you can just like swallow a pill, right?
Good point. That's one of the biggest challenges, delivery. RNA, it's kind of high maintenance. It needs a VIP escort to get past the body's defenses and into the cells where it can do its thing.
Okay, so what kind of escorts are we talking about here?
Well, we mentioned lipid nanoparticles, those LNPs, earlier. They've been the go-to for mRNA vaccines, especially the COVID ones.
Right, like tiny little protective bubbles that carry the RNA. But you mentioned other things too, like those extracellular vesicles, the EVs. Those sound really interesting.
They're pretty incredible, honestly. EVs, they're like nature's delivery service, tiny bubbles that cells release, and they can carry all sorts of stuff, including RNA. And because they're natural, they're really good at interacting with other cells.
So scientists are basically trying to hijack these natural delivery trucks and load them up with RNA vaccines instead.
You got it. They can engineer EVs to carry specific RNA sequences, even target them to specific cells in the body. It's really cutting-edge stuff.
What about those bacterial EVs you mentioned, the OMVs? Are those fair game too?
Absolutely. And they come with a bonus feature because they're from bacteria, which are already really good at setting off alarm bells in the immune system.
So it's like the OMVs act like a Trojan horse. Sneak the RNA in and then blow the horn. Hey, everyone, look what we got here.
Perfect analogy. All right, so we've covered a lot of ground today. Different types of RNA vaccines, how they're delivered, the whole nine yards. But it's important to remember, no technology is perfect. There are always challenges.
Right, there's always a but.
Exactly. One of the biggest hurdles right now is stability, especially for those LNP-based vaccines. They often need to be kept super cold, which can be a logistical nightmare, especially in parts of the world without reliable refrigeration.
Yeah, I can't just stick them in a regular fridge, unfortunately.
Nope. So scientists are working on new formulations, new delivery methods, things that are stable at room temperature. And of course, like with any new medical technology, there's always ongoing research into long-term safety and effectiveness.
Of course. So as mind-blowing as this all is, it's still early days for RNA vaccines.
It is. But the progress we've made, even just in the last few years, it's amazing. We've gone from RNA vaccines being this cool concept to them actually working, making a difference in the fight against diseases and the research we've been talking about. That suggests this is just the tip of the iceberg.
It really feels like we're on the verge of a whole new era of medicine. I mean, what's next? The paper even mentioned RNA vaccines for things like cancer, autoimmune diseases.
It's an incredibly exciting time to be following this field. And honestly, I think that's the biggest takeaway from today. The future of RNA vaccines. It's wide open, full of possibilities.
Couldn't agree more. Who knows what incredible breakthroughs are right around the corner. Thanks to this research paper, we've had a sneak peek at the future of vaccines, and it's looking bright. Really, really bright.